About a year ago, Pastor James gave a message that we mentioned in the letter that went out. Was it last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever that was? A message that he gave on the four priorities for members here at Rothbury Community Church. And we want to re-up those again because we want to keep them before our faces. These four membership priorities really serve as a vision for purposeful ministry here at RCC. Every organization of people, whether it be a sports team or a school or a business, whatever it is, every organization like that is going somewhere. The question is whether they're going somewhere on purpose or not. And it's true for the church as well. Rothbury Community Church has been around some 75 years or so. I don't know. Does anyone know? I know that it says, like, our official documents say the 40s. Like, we don't have an official date that I know of. Larry, do you know? Do we have an official date?
I've heard 43.
Okay, so 43. We'll go with that. But it's been around for a number of decades. We are, the past year or so, I think, we have finally exceeded the 200 membership mark. Not that we're, you know, going, yay, we did it, or anything like that, but just to note that we are a larger church than we were 20 years ago. We have been around for a long time. And so there's lots of things that happen in this church and through this church. And the danger is that we can get caught up in busyness rather than purposefulness. We want to be busy, but we want to be busy about the right things. And there's not like alarms blaring or red flags that are going up that we're going, oh no, the place is going to fall apart, or things are getting bad around here. What it is just an acknowledgement that instead of getting caught up in the busyness of our church life and just letting it be what it is, we want to be busy on purpose. We want to be busy doing the things that are going to be the most fruitful for God's kingdom. So recognizing this, the elders wanted to do what we can to help us in our purposefulness around here. And what our process, which was months and months long, what it all boiled down to was really two questions that we had to answer. And we didn't quite word it this way, but looking back on it, this is what it came down to. One question was this: what does a healthy church member at RCC practically look like? Because we certainly don't want a church member to be involved in every single ministry around here. There's so much going on that would be bad for your spiritual health to be involved in everything. And so, what does a healthy church member of RCC look like practically? Meaning, how would we advise the average church member, here is how to think about your involvement in the church life here at Rothbury? That was one question. Healthy membership for our members of the church. The other question is, how do we best tailor our activity that happens in our church? Programs, classes, events. How do we best tailor those so that we can ensure that they're actually being fruitful, that there's real ministry actually happening, that we're not just being busy for the sake of being busy? How can we tailor our activity so that our people are purposely growing closer to Jesus because of what we do around here, what we involve ourselves around here? Sometimes churches, you guys have seen this before in your histories, I'm sure, sometimes churches can slip into a country club mentality, that we're just here to consume, or we're just here because we're all buddies, we're all going to be friends, and this is our social time. Well, those are things, those aren't bad things, but that's not what the church is called to do and to be, just that, right? And there's other mentalities that we can slip into as a church, and we just want to be purposeful about it. And what we came down to, as we asked those two questions, we wanted one answer that we could use to answer both of those questions. And the one answer are those four priorities that we have laid out. How we want to advise our members as for how they need to be involved in the church life here, and then how we are going to think of our programs and events and all of those things programmatically, how we're going to think those things through so that we are actually engaged in purposeful ministry as a church. In other words, so that ministry isn't happening just by accident, but it's actually happening on purpose. And we sincerely believe that this is how the Lord would have us move forward as a church. And I think a helpful illustration here is that of a ship. Okay, the church is not a building that gets put down in a spot and doesn't go anywhere. Any organization, especially the church, is actually always moving. It's going somewhere, like a ship. It can drift or it can go somewhere on purpose. It can drift or it can drive. And we don't want to be a drifting church. We want to be driving somewhere on purpose. And along with that illustration, the elders want to say, we haven't arrived yet. We're heading a direction, and it's going to be a years-long, maybe decades-long, I don't know how long direction that it'll be. Hopefully, it's never going to come to the point where we're all going to go, ding, I'm done. I'm a perfect Christian. I'm all set. So it's going to be an ongoing process. And we're not interested in a bigger budget for the sake of having a bigger budget as a church. We're not interested in being able to knock down more walls so that we have to put more chairs because we have so many people here. We hope those things happen, but really those things we want to be a byproduct of real ministry happening in here. These are our goals. These are the things that we're aiming for. And those other things, if they happen, praise God that they happen. And if they don't happen, praise God that they don't happen. That doesn't matter as regards to what we need to be about here, how we need to conduct ourselves. We want to create a culture where we are all about the business of purposely helping one another grow closer to Christ. That's what we want the culture of our church to be, where we are purposely helping one another grow closer to Christ. We have that tagline, becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ. We want to do that on purpose in our ministries, but especially in our relationships with one another. That's the purpose of the Christian life, to grow closer to Christ and to help others grow closer to Christ. That's what it boils down to, and that's what we want to be about around here. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we make such a big deal about membership around here. It's not because we want you to pay dues. Members, do you pay dues? No, I don't. I don't know. Do you guys? Maybe some of you, we should make you do that. It's not because we want you to be able to check off a list and say, look how many members we've got. It's not because we want to make sure that we own you and you don't belong to anyone else or anything like that. That's not what membership is about at all. Our vision for what it looks like for the average person in their engagement in the church life here is this. A member of this church evangelizes an unbeliever. The unbeliever becomes a believer. That believer becomes baptized and becomes a member of the church. And that member becomes part of the community of RCC and is growing closer to Christ because they're a part of that membership community here. And then that member is now talking to other unbelievers and starting that process over again. But that's how we see this working, how we see this working out. And we believe that membership is a very biblical concept. I'm not going to make a case for it right now. I'll just point you back in 2017. We had a sermon series called Doing Church God's Way, where we talked about that somewhat. You can go on the church website and listen to those messages, or contact the office if you like as well, and we can get those messages to you. And you can hear a biblical case for membership. And I say this with gentleness and with some trepidation, but if you have been here for more than 6 months and you have not yet begun the membership process, the burden of proof as for why that hasn't happened is on you. I'm a little baffled by that. I can think of some reasons in the sense that the timing of the membership class didn't work out for you. That's okay. I can think of reasons. I know there's some situations with some people in the church who have some family situations where they're trying to be wise. They don't want to push a spouse away or push a parent away by pursuing that right now. And for the sake of loving someone, they're pressing pause on that. But the desire is there. And so there are some valid reasons. But I would encourage you to consider membership here. There's a class this coming Wednesday. And I'm not saying go to the class so you can become a member. Go to the class so you can meet, so you can find out what we mean by membership. Okay? Go to the class and learn what it is. And if you say no even after that, that's okay. At least you know what you're saying no to. At least you can understand why we make such a big deal about it around here. Really what it is it's a commitment to one another. It is saying, yes, I'm going to be part of a community that affirms my walk with Christ. That's what membership it is. When you become a member of this church, you have a group of Christians who say, yes, that person is a Christian because not because they're perfect, but because they're living the life of a Christian. That's what membership is. And it, thank the Lord, rarely happens that it gets all the way to the end, but the church discipline process is the opposite, where someone who was a member, we go, we can no longer affirm that they're living the life of a Christian. And so we pull their membership from that. And it's about guarding one another in that and being committed to one another and being devoted to one another. All those one another's in the Bible, you want to know where they apply? Well, they apply lots of places, but they especially apply to us. You know where to practice those things because you have a list of people that you can literally practice them for. I'm making a biblical case. I said I wasn't going to do that. You can listen to that to those messages. So I want to give a brief overview, a brief reminder of these four membership priorities. If you want to, I'll mention them again, but if you want to write them down, because you don't have it memorized yet, that's okay. Number one is corporate worship. Number two is church relationships. Number three is learning opportunities. And number four is serving opportunities. That's what we see the average member, what your life boiled down in this church should look like. And we're going through these four membership priorities because maybe it will clear up some fuzziness in your own minds as to what we mean by these things. Or maybe it's to prove to you that this is not just a fad, it's the latest kick that we're doing as a church and it's going to go away soon. Or maybe it's just going to help you stay excited about what we are trying to emphasize. No matter what, hopefully it'll be helpful. Helpful reminders as to what we are about around here. So number one, the first membership priority is corporate worship. And we tag that with this short sentence. Faithfully attending and participating in Sunday morning and evening services, gathering with the body. And a brief case for this is, you look back in Genesis, God created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested, setting up this pattern for us, this Sabbath pattern for us to observe as his creatures. Part of the way that we image God, because we are made in his image, is that we act like him. We do what he did. We do what he does. And in the New Testament, because Jesus rose on a Sunday, the Sabbath became the Lord's Day. And we celebrate week after week the resurrection of Christ on Sunday. Maybe we don't say it week after week, but that's why we meet on Sundays. So that the watching world around us, the very fact that we meet on Sundays, we're declaring to them, our Lord is risen. So we gather to worship. We gather for encouragement. We gather for correction. We gather to be reminded of the gospel. We gather to publicly identify with Christ and with his people. And there's many more reasons why we gather. But that's why we meet Sunday after Sunday. It's not so we can check it off our list. It's not so that God can tell us, you're a good little girl, you're a good little boy. We do this for very purposeful reasons. All of our activity as a church on Sundays is about our relationship with one another and with God. And of all of our activity that we do as a church, the last thing that we will give up is our Sundays. When you think about that, if for some reason the budget dried up and we couldn't have any of our other programs, we would still meet on Sundays. If this church burned down to the ground, we would still find a place to meet on Sundays. I'm sure some of you have read about what's happening over in China right now. There's a church called Early Rain Covenant Church. And the pastor, Pastor Wang Yi, and over 100 of his members were recently arrested just a few weeks ago. And the pastor wrote some documents that were to be published upon his arrest. He could see the writing on the wall. He knew that it was coming. And so he wrote some documents, both for the church, but also for the watching world to see why he's willing to be arrested for what they're doing. And one of those documents is entitled, 14 Decisions, colon, In the Face of Persecution, What Will I Do? 14 Decisions, In the Face of Persecution, What Will I Do? The first decision, the first thing he writes down is this, do not stop gathering together. And listen to what he has to say. He says, under no circumstances will we stop or give up on gathering publicly, especially the corporate worship of believers on Sunday. And then he turns it to himself. I will not cooperate with the police banning, shutting down, dissolving, or sealing up the church and its gathering. I will not stop convening, hosting, and participating in the church's public worship until the police seizes my personal freedom by force. End quote. Well, he's lived those words out. The police have taken him by force, and many members of his church. The week after he was arrested and many of the members were arrested, the rest of the membership still gathered. Their church building was guarded by police that had been locked up. They were banned from it, and so they met in a nearby park. And more of them were arrested. But they're not going to give up meeting together Sunday after Sunday. I mentioned this not to guilt us into showing up on Sundays. I mention it to remind us and to help us see the important place that corporate worship is to have in the life of all Christians. If there's only one thing that you can do in this church, show up on Sundays. If there's only one day of the week that you have time to do anything religiously, spiritually, give us your Sundays. And by us, I don't mean as pastors. I'm saying us as a church. Give us your Sundays. That's when we gather together. The rest of everything else is optional. I love Awana. I love the youth program. I love Bible studies. I love the prayer meeting, all that stuff. But that's all on the side. That's all optional. That's all frosting on the cake. The thing that counts is that we gather week after week as God's people on Sundays. So that's the first one, corporate worship. The second one, church relationships. Church relationships. This is purposely and regularly seeking out and investing in the lives of other members of the church. Take your Bibles and open to Ephesians 4 for a moment. Ephesians 4. More than any other text in the scriptures, this text has given personally me a vision for what biblical ministry looks like. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 11. And what I want you to especially note is note where the Apostle Paul says ministry occurs, how it occurs. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We'll stop there. Here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The business that we are about as Christians is growing up into Christ. We are being made more and more like him. And the way that God does that in us is through the ministry that we have with one another. Not ministry in the sense of formal, I'm going to stand behind the pulpit, or let's open our Bibles and do a Bible study, or let's have a prayer meeting. Those things contribute to it, but it's not something formal or technical that it has to be. It's talking about life on life. It's talking about friendship. It's talking about conversations that actually matter and actually count. Church growth is less about numbers and more about Christ-likeness. That's what church growth is. That's what we are concerned about. Now, we want our numbers to grow because the Lord is saving more and more people. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to be anti-evangelistic or anything like that. But what I am trying to say is that God's design for who we are to be as the church is that we help one another grow up into Christ. And this is what happens among the people of the church. You see that in verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry. The saints are Christians. The saints are people who have been saved. It's not just, you know, the holy people that they have the pictures with the halo behind them. Those are different kinds of saints. They're not the football team either. It's people who are Christians. You. The way that you minister is by talking with others, by sharing what you have learned with them, by praying for them. If you look down in verse 16, there's that word translated as joint. It's actually really difficult to translate that word into English. We're not exactly sure what it is, but the way the word used is parts of the body that rub together, that are connected together. And so it's talking about how the body of Christ is connected together through the members. You know that here's the church, here's the steeple, open it up and see all the people, right? We are all the people. This is where ministry happens, is among all of us. What the Bible means by ministry is primarily done in relationships. And again, that doesn't mean that we have to have formal Bible studies, every single one of us, or that we need to have formal times of prayer. It's more about having helpful conversations about things that really matter. Celebrating joys when someone else has shared a joy that they have. It is comforting someone who is feeling sorrowful about something in life. It is sharing wisdom when God has taught you something that is relevant in someone else's life. It is pointing people to truth when you see them wondering about some error and whether it's valid or not. It's reminding one another of the gospel when they're feeling down and out and just beat up, reminding them about the goodness of our God. Another way that we could put it is that real ministry happens when you are both known and you know someone, where you can have an actual conversation with someone and share your heartache in a safe place, and share your heartache with someone who's going to comfort you, someone who really knows the real you, and vice versa. You being that person that someone can come to, then call you up on the phone, can shoot you that text message that says, pray for me, I'm going into this conversation right now. What do you think about this going on in my life? Anything like that, that you are known and you know someone on that level. It's helping one another in our endeavor of becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ. We are pointing and are being pointed to Jesus by one another. That's one of the applications of this morning's message out of John 13 in loving one another. So where does this happen? It can happen in the walls of this building, during Bible studies and in Awana and programs and events. But you know where it especially happens? Is across the kitchen table. You know where it especially happens? Is in the coffee shop. It's on the path that you can walk still because the snow hasn't come. That's where real ministry especially happens. We are involved in one another's lives. We don't just see one another on Sunday and that's it. You want something real simple? Whoever you're sitting by next Sunday, if you have time, say, hey, you want to come over for lunch? There you go. It happened, just like that. The worst thing that they can say is, no, I'm busy. I guess they could be really mean and look at you funny, but that's on them if they do that, right? That's what it looks like. Now, I want to say something real quick here, is that an anticipated criticism that the elders could have in regards to these membership priorities is that we don't mention evangelism, do we? We don't mention outreach. We don't mention preaching the gospel to others explicitly. And part of that's on purpose, because the way that we see that happening is a natural outward development of our emphasis on church relationships. If you learn to be a good friend within the church, it becomes natural to be a good friend with your unsaved neighbor. You know how to have those conversations. You know how to genuinely care for someone. When we learn to have fruitful, healthy relationships with one another, the natural outcome is that we're going to have those kinds of relationships with our unsaved neighbors or coworkers or fellow students. I think, generally speaking, before we can have success at pointing non-believers to Jesus, we need to be able to point one another to Jesus. And seeing it in this way, all evangelism is making that one another be a greater and greater number as the Lord continues to add to our number. That's what evangelism is an outworking of these principles just with unbelievers. So these first two priorities, from an elder's perspective, if all we did was accomplish these two priorities, we would be sky high. We would go perfect, done. The other two, we can let those things go. That's okay. Because these first two priorities are our biblical convictions. In other words, we think every church that calls itself a church ought to emphasize those things. Corporate worship and church relationships. Maybe they don't word it that way. That's okay. And they don't need to think that clearly about it. That's okay. But that's what a church is. That's who we are to be as God's people. And the second two are not so much about biblical convictions. They're more about methodology. It's more about how are we going to carry this out purposefully in the life of our church? How are we going to organize ourselves? So let me jump into the third one, which is learning opportunities. Learning opportunities. And the little sentence that goes with this one is consistently taking advantage of biblical education offered through the church, growing in your faith. A couple of verses to jot down. You don't have to look them up. I'll read them for you. Colossians 1:10, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the things that makes Christianity unique when we put it up against all the other false religions that are out there is that Christianity is so educationally oriented. Christianity emphasizes study and the attainment of knowledge. Now, I'm not talking about just studying books and, you know, math books and science books or even the books in the library, the book rack, but studying God's Word. Most false religions, the way that you get knowledge is through some mystical experience. The way that you grow spiritually is through some mystical experience. For instance, in Hinduism, the reason why they do yoga and why they do meditation, the point that they try to do is try to literally get themselves in a mindset where their mind is blank and they are spaced out. And what happens after that is you experience nirvana, right? You experience this whatever's going on. There's other ways to get to that, by the way. You can take some substances that'll get you there as well. But that's the goal. The way that you spiritually grow is through a mystical experience. Another illustration of that is many of the Native American religions. When you are declared a man or a woman, oftentimes what you do is you're supposed to have a dream of your spirit animal or an ancestor coming. And the way that you have that dream is you go off by yourself and you don't eat anything or drink anything, and you wait for him to show up. Carlos, am I right? You're not in here? Oh, okay. He spaced out. But you go out and you look to have that experience. And the way that you do it is you push your body to physical extremes until you pass out and you're visited, right? Again, the mystical experience is how you grow, spiritually speaking. Christianity is totally different. Christianity is the way that you grow is you learn about your God. You get to know him more and more. In the New Testament, we grow through studying, through understanding, through applying, through reading, and on it goes, God's Word. We don't meditate as Christians by emptying our minds. We meditate by filling our minds with the words of Scripture. We don't pray by chanting endless mantras over and 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 over again until something clicks. Instead, we pray with God's word as our guide. You want to know how to pray? Don't say the same thing over and over again. Open up God's word and say, God, I see that you want me to love others. Help me to love others. Amen. There's a great prayer right there. I'm going to get you much further than just repeating empty phrases over and over again. And by the way, be warned, there are many pagan practices that have come into the church. They have been repackaged and sold to the church as spirituality, especially in the American church. It is everywhere. And use discernment. Measure things by God's word. When someone says, this is the way that you connect with God, ask yourself, is that what the Bible says? Right? And see through all of that. So at RCC, we simply want our members to take advantage of opportunities to learn and to grow. We got a million of them. The easiest one are those core classes on Sunday morning. You're already here because you're a good member and showing up for that first thing, prioritizing corporate worship. Might as well stick around for another hour. But we also have the men's Bible study. In February, there will be a woman's Bible study starting up. I think it's going to be on Thursdays, ladies. Thursday night, I believe. So, yes, and guys, you'll have to fight about rooms with them. You'll figure it out. We've got opportunities for our children and for the youth. We have many opportunities. We have our life groups, places to learn and to grow. Our intention as elders is to streamline our educational opportunities around here. We did that revamping our core classes a year ago, and we started that fresh and new. And our intention in the coming years is to do that with all of our programs so that we can take someone from being a baby Christian to a mature Christian in a very purposeful fashion around here. That's where we would like to get to the point of being, and it's going to take some time to get there. We're not going to rush it. It will take some time to develop, but that's where we are heading. All right, fourth and the last one. Serving opportunities. Serving opportunities. And this one's real short. The sentence that goes with it is actively serving the church through praying, volunteering, giving, evangelizing, etc. You guys know about how the New Testament talks about spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. Other passages as well where God has gifted us for the purpose of service to his people. Some of us are gifted to lead. Some of us are gifted to teach. Some of us are gifted to organize a ministry. Some of us are gifted to help maintain the property. Some of us are gifted to help serve in the kitchen. Some of us are gifted to work with children. Some of us were at the stage of life where the only thing that we're able to do really is pray. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. That's how God has set it up to work. He says that in his word. The point is that there's many ways that God has gifted us all to serve, and so find a way to serve. And real practically, if you don't have a place of service, my suggestion to you is don't do one of those spiritual gift surveys things. I mean, that those can be helpful, but when you have, I think that the scriptures say there's many more spiritual gifts that aren't labeled for us that exist out there, right? That's why we don't have an exhaustive list of them. I think the trial and error thing works better. Try serving somewhere, and if you stink at it, stop, right? Or if someone says, you're not good at that, stop. Maybe you think you're really good. You guys can make food whenever you want. That was good tonight. But if that was me, you guys would want me to stop. Kraft mac and cheese, I can ruin that. So find a place to serve. Just to get plugged in and do it. And as I said, if you don't like this, go do something else. There's so many opportunities around here to do that. And it doesn't even have to be something publicly or up front. Maybe it is behind the scenes. Maybe it is that you are faithfully praying through the membership directory month after month. That is beautiful. Do that. Maybe you have the gift of giving, where you have a job that enables you to have some funds, and when you get that bonus, instead of getting a nicer car, you decide to give it to some missionaries that we support. Or whatever. There's a million ways to serve. Find the way God has equipped you and use it. So, in conclusion, we want to live out our motto of becoming committed followers of Jesus Christ. And as I said at the beginning, this is more about a culture in our church than it is about the activity of our church. It's less about all the busyness that's going on. Not that that's a bad thing, but it's less about that and more about why we are busy about those things. That's what we are concerned with. And so some closing questions for you. Are you a member? And if not, why not? Are you here on Sundays? Do you intentionally pursue other members of this church? And as a sub-point to that one, a sub-question to that one, has that overflowed into evangelism in your life as well? How are you taking advantage of the educational opportunities in this church? And in what ways are you using your gifts to serve others? We want to give you, as members of this church, an ability to discern how you should be involved in this church for the best health for yourself and for this church. If all of our membership were engaged in these four ways, this church would be a rocket. We'd be flying to the moon. And let me mention as well, just for the sake of your own thinking through those things, we also put them in order of priority. We want you here on Sundays before anything else. We want you involved in one another's lives before coming to class, before finding ways to serve. We want you to be built into through the learning opportunities here at this church before you are building into others yourself. But ideally, you're able to think through that grid of those four questions and be able to find a way that you are involved, each of those four ways in your own life. As I said, if we got those first two down, the other two are, that's fine. You know, we'll take those first two. Order of priority on those things. And something else to be said is that aside from showing up here on Sundays, this is going to look different for everyone because all of us are different. Some of you like the core class that I teach. Others of you go, I don't click with Brian. I click better with a Dave. There's like 20 of them around here. And that's just fine. That's not a bad thing. That's just the way God wired us. That's the way it is. That's why part of the gift is that there's so many of us. Our church is too big and too busy to ask you to be involved in everything that's going on around here. That would be bad for you to do that. So use these four priorities to help diagnose your own involvement in the life of our church. Rearrange your own personal schedule so that you are actually able to prioritize these priorities. We're all busy people, but are we busy with the best stuff? Are we busy with what God would have us busy with? And as we consider the health of our church, the vision of ministry for RCC, where we want to go and where we want to be, we have to recognize in humility that this is not our work. This is not something that we can do in our own power. We are weak. We will fall on our face. That's one of the dangers whenever we go after something as a church, is that we're going to, A, either depend on ourselves, or B, we're going to get hit real hard by Satan because he doesn't want us to go that way. And so what we need to do is we need to pray. And that's what we're going to do in these next moments here. When you came in on that music stand there, there's a sheet that says how to pray for your church. This is from the inside of the membership directory, the photo directory, just if it's familiar to you. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to take the next, 15 to 20 minutes or so and break up into some smaller groups. I know there's some kids present, and that's okay. We're going to be just fine. We're going to do it our own way in each group, whatever it needs to look like. Pray through those four priorities that the elders have put out for us as a church. And then, I don't know if we'll have time to go through all of these, but maybe you can go through this list. And what I would encourage you to do is actually look up one of the verses and read one of those verses as you pray, emphasizing what we want to be here as our church at Rothbury.